On this week's show, Christoph of Phobia Game Studio reveals his tentacruel intentions with Carrion, a reverse horror game about an amorphous flesh blob with an insatiable hunger. Speaking of a big appetite, the Switch Lite is being absolutely devoured by consumers, while Blizzard gobbles up headlines with a pair of tasty announcements. And finally, the Hype Zone has us counting the calories. This is Nintendo Dual Screen's 125. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 125, sponsored by MeltedPins.com. I just lost the whole doc as it refreshed the page. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
You sound like you're about to die.
Yeah, it's a miracle that this recording is happening at all. Been very sick, essentially, since Tuesday. So we're pushing a week now. We're recording this on Sunday. We were supposed to record this yesterday, but it looked like my son was getting sick, and we were like, oh, man, if we have to take him to the doctor, that's going to be right in the middle of everything. It was a big mess. So,
right. But you are safe. You're a true thespian, because the show must go on.
The show must go on. I was very close to telling you you're on your own, buddy, but I knew that once adrenaline kicks in, I've done shows like musicals and plays really sick before. I had laryngitis and did a musical where I was the lead. Imagine that.
Oh, see,
laryngitis.
You have an excuse going for. You could have the plague.
I could have polio.
Right.
I could have polio and I'm running the marathon if it's a show.
You have typhoid fever, like you're going to be on the show.
As I mentioned in the cold open, we have Christoph here from Phobia Game Studio. Excuse me. How you doing, Christoph?
Hey, hello everyone. Yeah, I'm good. We're kind of tired after releasing the Halloween demo, which we'll obviously talk about today, I guess. But yeah, yes. I'm cool, and I hope you guys accept that you're dying, but otherwise you're good as well.
It's very apropos for yet another horror-themed podcast, which, that reminds me, folks, yes, this is a little horror hangover here. We know it's November, but you know what? F it. This game looks really cool, and we want to talk about it. For those of you that are new to the Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, that's NDS Podcast. This is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest to talk about the indies and Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens usually posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice. The reason why I say that is because our podcast host, Proven Gamer, is in the middle of migrating all of our content to a new server, and they were told it would be 24 hours. It has since been almost 5 days. So, you have not been able to get any of our episodes on any podcast service. The only place you can get our episodes right now are on YouTube. So go to youtube.com, type in Nintendo Dual Screens, and that's where you're going to get the most recent episodes. Now, I was told, so that was episode 124 and now 125, but I was told that it would be resolved by this episode going up, but I do not see that happening because I just went to check and the website is still under maintenance. So I honestly do apologize for that. We did not know this was going to happen. We went in to go put 124 up, and the website was down. Reached out to the admin. He said, yeah, it's not supposed to be down. I don't know what's going on. And then it turns out, sorry about it. It was a big mess up. GoDaddy messed it up. And so we're just kind of waiting, twiddling our thumbs. So we do apologize. Also, I want to apologize to our Patreon supporters. Which, if you want to be one, you can go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, the demigod himself, Alex Gonzalez. We have not been able to put any Patreon exclusives up because of me being sick and sleeping at weird times and, not having a voice and hacking a lung and just feeling like overall garbage. But we will make it up to you, as we always do. We can't continue to grow without your support, so please, you consider backing us for as little as $1. We raised $103 for Brooklyn Animal Action on our streams and our Facebook all week. So thank you very much for that. That helps out like four cats get captured and treated. So we do appreciate that. And Extra Life is happening. It's currently happening right now. We did not set up our team because Extra Life was attacked with a DDoS attack, Andy.
Holy shit, no idea.
Yes, so it was a really fucked up thing because... So Extra Life accidentally, like something with their site accidentally was charging people 2 and 3 times for a donation. So people got really mad and some hackers did a DDoS attack.
Well, that's just evil. It's a charity event.
Yeah, exactly.
It's for kids who are dying.
Exactly.
What
so
heartless monsters are you?
We're going to be working on when, Andy or I will be doing some streaming marathons so that we could raise some money for the Big Beautiful Children. And we'll drop those links when we have them as always. Just follow us on Twitter at NDS Podcast. Okay. Before we get into the lead story, which is all about Carrion, which I think I'm saying right.
Yeah.
Carrion. Carrion. Good. Good. I did it. You never know. Cause my brain tricks me. I'm like, carry on. Okay. Anyway, before we get into that and the Nintendo news report, let's talk about the Nindies of the week. That was pathetic. I'm sorry, Andy.
Yeah.
I can't really yell too much.
We'll have to do an edit for that for the first time on the show.
I am still playing Mist Over, so I have nothing new to say except for, the game really started to, mess around with like combining items and like all of that stuff. So like now I'm getting into the minutia of everything and I'm really enjoying it. But what have you been playing, Andy?
So given our game this week is a reverse horror game, I'm going to flip this segment for myself.
Oh boy.
I'm going to talk about a game that I do not recommend people play.
Oh boy. Okay.
For some reason, I'm not sure if I was drunk or high or both. I purchased Contra Rogue Core.
Oh no. Why did you do that?
It was just there. And I was like, oh my God, Contra. I love Contra. So I downloaded it. And
yeah, you must have been drunk.
Oh my God. So just to put things in perspective, the four main characters you can pick from, one is like your vintage stereotypical dude bro guy, but he has like a drill arm because why not? There's a girl that has a demon on her belly. Her name is Miss Harakiri, and she has to stab it with this sword to keep it at bay, but then the sword powers up at the same time. There's an alien, like an actual from the old games alien, that's been tamed, and he's got a British accent. His name is Gentleman. And there's a giant panda, but it's a cyborg panda body with the brain of a human, and its name is Hungry Beast. It sounds like a really good anime. It
sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Right? But, oh my God, like how far away can you stray from what Contra is supposed to be? Now, gameplay-wise, it's kind of a mess. It's super easy. The idea of a health bar in a Contra game is wrong to me. Very wrong. The whole thing is like a frat boy induced like thing. It's just so over the top. It's very dude bro. It's like you strip Contra of all its soul and just make it just a twin stick shooter with explosions and easy enemies and no real attempt to design anything of value or charm or aesthetically pleasing. It's just so bland looking. It's like a cover band of a Contra game. That's what it feels like. So stay away.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the environments themselves just look terrible. Yeah. They just look very uninspired. But anyway, so Christoph, you just released the demo of Carrion. So I can't imagine you were doing anything else or playing any other games except for getting Carrion ready for public consumption there. Were you playing anything else? Is there anything you want to tell our listeners about?
Well, I'm actually sometimes when I'm totally fed up with Carrion, which is quite often actually, but I'm playing for Red Dead Redemption 2. So oh, that's okay. Not very, very interesting because everyone's played it by now, except for the PC crowd. But even they will get to play it quite soon.
Soon?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no interesting indies or anything like that from me at the moment. Like, I'm indie enough myself to to be fed up with indies for now.
You've paid your dues. You're good. You can enjoy a AAA title every now and again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, Andy, take us into the releases of the week while I hack up along.
We have some great games coming out this week, starting on Tuesday with Lord of the Rings Adventure Card Game.
Oh, great.
Yep, that's game of the year right there. Followed by Just Dance 2020. And then Ships for $13.99. That's a great price.
Yep.
We have Mario and Sonic.
Wait a minute, hold on. You missed something here.
Oh no, I what did I miss?
It's not on here because this is
oh, because they got rid of this. Did they remove something?
No,
forget something?
No. Oh, they removed something. They don't have a tab for Wii because Just Dance 2020 has come out on the Wii.
Oh, interesting.
It is another Wii release.
Right. There was never a Wii tab up here, was there?
Not since we started the show. No.
Yeah.
No, but they didn't put the fact that, right. It's out on the Wii. Okay, continue.
Yell at us. Just Dance for the Wii is also coming out this week.
That's right.
We got Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, Tokyo 2020. For a hefty price tag, $60. That game better be good. We'll see about that. Construction Simulator 2 US Console Edition comes out.
Hell yeah. I have my code. I have my copy.
We have...
I'm going to be doing a first play with Jack, my 4-year-old son.
Oh, that should be a fun video.
Because he is obsessed with construction vehicles. Just obsessed with them.
Right. We have the Manga Works. It's got some funky little pixel art going on there. You got to check that out. Strange Telephone. Ritual. Crown of Horns. Skybolt Zack, which has the worst name attached to a game I heard in my entire life. Zack is like the worst name you can pick. I don't know what they were thinking with that name. Juicy Realm, which is my favorite porno, if I ever heard it. The Grisea Trilogy.
Oh, boy.
Monkey Barrels. Oh, here's a great one. Stay Cool, Kobayashi-san, A River City Ransom Story.
Yep.
We got Puzzlement for $1.50. That's a lowercase p, by the way, Puzzlement. Tokyo Dark Remembrance, Head Snatchers, another great adult film, As Divine Kimura.
Oh, another As Divine game. We just got one of those.
Meanders. Okay. Animus Harbinger. Incredible Mandy. Super Street Racer. House of Golf. One Person Story. For $2.99. Well, low price games this week.
Yeah.
There's a game called Football Game, which looks like some sort of jock dating cheerleader.
Thing. Yeah. It's a little weird.
Seduction sim, because they're like on a car.
Yeah, that's weird.
Sturmwind EX.
It's the extra edition.
Oh, new Super Lucky Tale. That's going to be on Switch. That's a fun game.
Hell yeah.
I enjoyed that back in the day on the PC.
Oh, baby. Coming up next.
Oh, shit. It's the big one, guys. Disney Tsum Tsum Festival. Here we go. That's it. We have Layton's Mystery Journey, Catriel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy Deluxe Edition.
Wow. That's a lot of words.
Jumanji, the video game. That's based on the recent film.
Which is based on them getting sucked into a video game.
Exactly. It's so meta. We got Blindy, which looks like a literal blind character on the screen.
Just it's a Mr. Magoo simulator.
Just missing a walking stick.
Okay. That wraps it.
That wraps it up.
That does wrap it. Now, I'm going to ask you a question
Sure.
Okay. Which one of all the games you just mentioned has a key feature known as the spin system, S-P-I-N system.
The spin system?
Yes, and it stands for sanity, professionalism, investigation, neurosis.
Are we doing trivia in the releases of the week?
I was very curious to know what Tokyo Dark Remembrance was all about. So I started reading about it, and it's a adventure game.
Right, listen.
But it uses the spins system to keep it keeps track of every decision you make, changing how other characters react and the actions available to you.
Looks like a pretty light week, considering we have Pokemon coming out the week after.
Yeah.
But I'm all about that juicy realm. So with that, let's get into the carrion.
Yes.
Oh my
God.
Right,
I'm gonna bow out and hack a lung while you start this interview.
So before I talk to Christoph here about this amazing game that makes me very erect when I think about it. We had spoken on Facebook, because you know me, Steven. I'm the Batman of getting guests on the show. I'm very persistent. I can find ways and means to track people down to get them.
You're
on
more
the
like
podcast.
Batman's stalker.
Right. Sure. We'll go with that route. And I messaged the Carrion Facebook page, I believe, towards the beginning of October. And, you know, I was putting feelers out just to get some guests for our Halloween Shocktober theme episodes for all of last month. And we were basically wrapped up. We had 6 guests. We did more than usual for the month. So, you know what? That's your bonus content, kids. You got 2 extra episodes this month. So you're welcome. And then I got a response from Christoph. He was like, oh my God, this sounds like a lot of fun, but it's so late. I'm sorry. And I was like, wait. Don't apologize. We're still doing this. This is still going to happen.
A good game is a good game. It doesn't matter what season it is.
I don't care. You know, I'm a huge fan of horror, so we're just going to drag this on. We're going to pull that corpse down the hallway and let that blood trail come out. So... Yeah.
I'm super bad at Facebook, you know.
Listen, you're making the game.
Reverse Batman. I'm the man bat of Facebook.
So I think before we get into who you are and what your role is at Phobia Game Studio, I want to say 2 things. First of all, is that I hate you. And second of all, why do I have to wait until next year to play this amazing game?
I don't know.
That's a very unfair question, Andy.
Maybe listen, you're on the show now, so you represent the whole team. So it all falls on you to give me answers. It is you're the reason why I can't play this until next year.
Yeah, so I guess we could pull off, you know, a No Man's Sky here, just release it as is, and maybe finish the game 2 years, 3 years after actual release date.
Fucking burn!
Oh, that's a burn.
That's joking or not, but yeah, it's just not done. If you've played the demo, you probably saw some stuff that's not quite finished, not quite polished, and so on. So, you know, there's just a couple of us doing the game, and like, it's basically, if you want the game to be polished, it has to be next year. Sorry,
no, it was more on me saying how great the game looks and feels even in the unpolished demo state. It just left me wanting it as soon as possible. So let's kick off properly. What is Carrion? Give us the pitch. We've heard reverse horror. Explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, so we call it a reverse horror because you are the monster which the NPCs are afraid of, and you're basically this like 80s 90s horror movie monster villain, and it's badass, you know. It's kind of like how you could play the Alien and the Predator in the Alien vs Predator games, and you know, nobody's ever really coined a name for the genre or for the theme, maybe, because it's not specifically a genre, because gameplay wise it could be all sorts of, you know, you playing as the monster. But yeah, it's not really a horror, because you aren't, or you're not supposed to be scared. If you are scared of yourself, then I mean, I guess that's cool, but it's not what we are going for. So yeah, hence the reverse horror. And when it comes to the genre, how the game plays, it's like this 2D side scroller kind of cinematic platformer, so to speak, with lots of Metroidvania elements to it.
Right. So your key role on the team is level design. So let's speak about what your approach is to crafting a Metroidvania experience. Is it, because I noticed that in the demo, the monster gets several abilities. So let's talk about how those work together with level design and the abilities you acquire throughout the game.
Yeah, so basically as you could see, kind of, you know, in a super condensed form in the demo, because the demo isn't really a part of the main game. It's like a separate thing. Like, so this level was just thrown together to show several abilities and like several different gameplay scenarios in a super short condensed form. So you get the idea how the whole game looks and works, but it's not how the game will unfold, like the whole skill progression and so on. It will go on it will have this different paced, like it will introduce everything properly and so on. And yeah, you have this kind of classic Metroidvania progression to it. So there are places you can't go to or unlock or whatever, solve the puzzles until you've obtained specific skills. But we also have some twists. So it's not like you just get the skill and that's it. We have, at least currently how it works is we have this, what we call a mass-based class system. So depending on your current size, you're playing as a different class of the monster, which has different skills. So eventually, as the game and the levels, the puzzles get more complex, you have to start actively managing your size, your mass, so that you have the skills that you need for any given tasks are the ones you currently have. So being as big as you can isn't always the solution.
Yeah, because in the demo, I found that it was easier to move around when you were a smaller mass entity. But there's something about being this giant blob of, you know, throbbing red veins that's so appealing to me. Now, in the demo, you could shrink down by taking damage. Can you control that in the final game? Like, if there's a puzzle or a event to sneak through, but it requires you to be a certain size, can you... Is that a manual option? Like, shrink yourself down? How does that work?
There are places, like, at least currently, there are these pools of goo in which you can leave what we call cocoons. So you leave parts of your mass in these pools, and then you shrink yourself to a smaller class. And then you can go always back and retrieve the biomass from the cocoons. So you can, like, do this rotation back and forth.
How big will the map size be? If you think about your standard Metroidvania type of setup, is it like a huge sprawling map with a lot of backtracking? What's the general size you can, without saying too much, but that you can tell us right now?
It's hard to compare the sizes, to be honest, especially with how quickly the monster moves. So so it's not... It's hard to like compare on I don't know how many tiles we have in the game, but what I can tell you is that it's not a 100% classic Metroidvania with the whole world being just a single large level. Basically, we're going for more of a like traditional Zelda approach with an overworld and it's called them dungeons, which. Well, you can access from the overworld, but yeah, there is backtracking. You can always go back, or almost always go back to the levels you've already completed. So they're like not strictly speaking levels, but they're kind of like separate paths. So it's not fully interconnected, but there is lots of like looping back on itself and shortcuts and also some backtracking. But yeah, I'd say it's more of a traditional Zelda when it comes to the world than a Metroidvania.
Right. So speaking on the creature itself and the abilities, we got a little bit of a sneak peek in the demo, a little taste, as it were. A little projectile to kind of capture enemies from afar, and this sort of dash move you can do through these large objects. What else can we expect from this beast? Like, how crazy will it get, essentially? Because I want to see a huge, like, sci-fi epic, like some crazy messed up shit that this thing can do. That's what I'm hoping for.
It can do some messed up shit, definitely. So maybe I'm not going to spoil everything, but
No, just a little, a
one
little.
of the we'll like for example, what we haven't shown in the demo is any of the defensive skills. So for example, the smallest form has the light bending ability. So it basically works like the Predator cloak. It bends light and makes you pretty much invisible, which allows you to sneak past people and also bypass lasers without triggering them. So that's one of the nifty abilities. When it comes to crazy shit, we have for the largest form a skill called Tentacle Vortex, which sends out like this flurry of harpoons, flash harpoons, which pierce through enemies, impale them, and then pull them towards you. And it also works on some objects. So that's pretty cool and gruesome. And maybe the last ability I'm going to tease is impersonation. So you can
Oh my
actually
God.
like you have a special tentacle probe, which you can like use it sneakily and approach some human with it and basically penetrate his anus and take control of the human, and then
Yeah.
you're playing as the human, and you can mess around with people and do some interesting
Christoph, I
stuff.
have a question. So these sound like really, really powerful stuff, like really, really fun ways to manipulate the environment and the enemies. How do you balance challenge when you have so many powerful ways to take out foes? Like, what's the challenge for the gamer, for the player?
Oh, for example, we have some enemies which are pretty mean. For example, mechs, which have like miniguns, and so if you're not careful around those, you can get shot down in a matter of seconds. Same goes for fire, for example. If you catch on fire, you're toast unless you can find some source of water very quickly. So yeah, there are some countermeasures the humans employ against the monster. So it's like the monster is kind of fragile actually. Obviously, if you're one of the largest forms, you have quite a lot of health. But if you're not careful, we can lose it pretty quickly anyway. Kind of like this, glass cannon approach. So you either have to be quick and agile, or you have to approach some stuff like stealthily with, like you have to do this tactical approach, and not expose the monster to immense firepower. Plus also thanks to the mass-based class system, we can sometimes force the player to use, for example, a smaller class because, you can't pass this puzzle without being small and having light bending, for example. And then automatically it's kind of harder because your health pool is smaller. So enemies which normally wouldn't be that much of a threat to you can shoot you down very quickly because you are this smallest form. So that's also one way of adding some challenge and variety to the game.
Yeah, we can't.
When you come, I'm sorry, Andy, I just got one more
Sure,
question.
yeah.
When you come to a challenge that requires a power or something like that, are there multiple ways to achieve that challenge, to complete that challenge, or are you pretty much linearly acquiring powers to get through specific challenges?
Yeah, most of it is linear. Like there might be some places where some like alternative options maybe present, but yeah, it's mostly this classical Metroidvania approach of this particular skill or item or whatever, unlocking or solving this particular type of puzzle or anything. Although as the puzzles get more complex, you have to start like using multiple skills in a sequence to pass something and so on. But yeah, it's mostly linear in this aspect.
Right, that sounds really fun. And listen, I just want to go back to the tentacle anal probe for a second, because I can't let that slide. It was right there. It sounds like a hentai fan's wet dream, more or less.
Yeah, actually, when we were back before we signed with Devolver, we released some early gameplays and trailers, and we saw some interesting viewership spikes from Japan. So I think that the resonates itself. With a particular crowd, so yeah.
It just writes itself. Because when I first saw this game, I got a lot of blob influence. It's a giant creature that kind of just devours everything that's in its path. But when you mention that, I'm getting more like John Carpenter The Thing vibes from it now.
Yeah.
This whole like taking over enemies and disguising yourself. That's a fun little layer you have going on there.
Yeah, it's definitely a The Thing callback. Like, this is one of our main sources of inspiration. I guess it's kind of obvious, but yeah, we're definitely inspired by John Carpenter and in general any quality 80s 90s
right.
Horror slash action flick, like, you know, Aliens, Predator, all that stuff. So
you mentioned Devolver, and I kind of want to find out how that whole relationship was forged. How are they publishing this game? Was it, did they see it at a conference somewhere as a demo, or how did the whole conversation start between you and Devolver Digital?
So funnily enough, after Sebastian, who is like the main developer, he's the programmer and artist and like the whole brains behind Carrion, when he started posting GIFs on Twitter, and then we decided to like kind of do a review of the game with the trailer and so on, and we showed the game at the Media Indie Exchange event. It was alongside GDC. Yeah, we started getting some traction from different publishers, some offers, some questions and whatnot. And once we figured out that someone might actually be interested in publishing the game, we thought that this is kind of a Devolver game. But funny enough, out of all the publishers that we spoke with, Devolver was the only one who hasn't approached us themselves, so we had to ask some mutual friends to introduce us to Devolver. And once we got in touch with them, they loved the game, the prototype demo, and which, funny enough, was basically the same level we've just released as the Halloween demo, only from a much, much older build.
Right.
So like it was vastly different. But if you go on YouTube and check some early IGN or whatever videos, I think GameSpot did a stream of that. Yeah, I think so. You can actually compare how it's changed, and you can actually see that, oh, this is the same chamber, only with some added stuff and humans not looking like sausages anymore and so on. So yeah, but other than that, it's basically the same level. Once we got in touch with Devolver, we clicked and eventually struck a deal, and that was it.
It really speaks to the curation that they go through for their catalog of games, because you can tell off the bat that yeah, this feels like it's a Devolver game.
Yeah, I think that was
in their roster, and I love how you guys are just like, yeah, we're getting offers from people, but this is a Devolver game, so I think we should try that route first and see how that goes.
Yeah, we had some really good publishers out there speaking with us and some good offers, but yeah, eventually it was the catalog, the oh, this looks like a game Devolver game thing that was the deciding factor here, really.
So the game is coming out 2020 for yep. PC and unconfirmed consoles.
Yes. So you can actually expect some announcements soon. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, currently all I can say is it's PC, which includes Linux and Mac, mm-hmm. and the unspecified consoles.
Is there a release window? Are we talking like Q1 2020, more towards the holiday? Is there a window we can sort of lock this into at this point, or you can't say?
I'd say it's somewhere between the two dates you've mentioned.
Oh, great. All right. So between January next year and December next year. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what 2020 means, Andy. See what you're trying to do.
Well, listen, sneaky boy. It's what we do here. We try to probe like a tentacle up your ass to get the real information out of people. That's what we do.
That's right. All right, so that does it with our lead story. Let's get into the Nintendo News Report. We got a couple of things here. So Switch Lite sales, Andy. Well, then, yeah. that
Christoph, if
that was a good call.
If you're not considering a Switch release at this point in your development, you really should. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Switch has sold worldwide 41 million units?
41.67 million units. Almost 42 million units. Well ahead of the pace
of Switch Lite sold, what, 2 million units in 11 days?
11 days, yeah.
That is bananas to me.
Absolutely 10 days.
Absolutely nuts. 10 days. Even better.
10 days, yeah. Yeah.
And with that, we got a little glimmer of potential 3DS games coming to Switch. So we had this sales report that came out that kind of like shocked us all a little bit. I mean, oh, there was one neat thing about the Switch Lite, though, that the bulk of their sales were in the United States.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because you would think Japan, who loves their handheld devices, they weren't as eager to adopt the Switch Lite as folks in the States were. We're talking 800K alone in the United States compared to 400K in Japan.
Right.
That's nutty to me. That's like a total flip of what the usual stats are. And the result of these great sales and the Pokemon games coming next month, they're essentially going to target, they're going to make the Switch kind of lean into the 3DS catalog a bit, which, again, not a huge shock. We mentioned this before on the podcast. It's a perfect place to bring the great 3DS games. I'd love for some more Link's Awakening style remakes as opposed to full-blown ports, but we shall see. But yeah, great news for Switch.
That would be nice.
But yeah, Christoph, you better make a note of those numbers. That's a huge audience that you don't want to leave out. Again, hint, hint, wink, wink. Speaking about Pokemon, oh boy, we got a huge dump of evolutions and leaks and Gigamax form artwork. And yeah. I don't know, this looks scary. This should have been the theme for the episode, the whole topic. This is the true terror, is some of these evolutions. So we got a dump of the starters evolved forms, some of the Gigamax forms, and some new Pokemon that were revealed and their evolved forms as well. Did you see these yet, Steven? Did you get a good look at these?
I did.
Why do the starter ones look like they're not done yet? Like their final form is what should be their second level evolution.
I like the Grookey one. That one's cool.
He's very brawlic, but the other two look—they haven't hit puberty just yet.
Sobble looks very tall and very thin.
Yeah, there's like an angry teen look from both of them, and Squirrelbunny too.
Score Bunny, which one is that? That's the one all the way on the bottom?
Yeah, looks like just a teen in pants with like...
Cinderace?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that one I think is the most disappointing one because it's... Cinderace just looks like a human, really, with a mask.
Right.
But if this is Grookey, that's who I'm going to pick. Sobble, I'm upset with because I felt like Sobble had the coolest first evolution stage, or basic stage, whatever. I really liked that design and the personality. The second one is okay too. The one that they leaked here, Grookey looks really cool though.
Right.
But yeah, that final form of Sobble looks really
cool. There's dumb. Like a weird, like, there's like a Neopets quality to some of these looks that I found a little bit disturbing. But you know what?
More disturbing is that Meowth, though. That potential Galarian Meowth.
Right.
What the hell is that?
I don't know what that's about. Not at all.
I don't know. I'm going to drop this link just so Christoph can follow the bouncing ball here.
Right. But the Gigamax forms look neat. The Machamp one looks super OD. Like, it's just...
I don't even think I saw that one. Like, Did he not go down far?
He's baned out. He's on the bane juice.
I don't see that. Wait, where is that?
Do a link. Hold on. Let me just let me find that. And they should Garbodor too. His form as well. Oh, and Kingler. He's like foaming at the mouth.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see Red Fox. I don't know what that is. And then Red Fox Evolution. That looks fine. What is this thing? Purple Pokemon? That's what they're calling it? Purple Pokemon?
Are you a fan of Pokemon, Christoph? Are you looking forward to this release next week? Sword and Shield?
I used to be a huge fan of Pokemon in general back in the 90s. but yeah, I think it's like there's just too many games, too many Pokemons for me.
Well, you're in luck because this new game has a very limited national Pokédex, so they're not all in there.
There you go. All right. So while you're scrolling through those, Overwatch 2. So Blizzard had their BlizzCon, came out, did a half-assed apology over the whole Blitzchung Hong Kong thing.
Blitzchung, is that the official name of it? Is that what we're calling it?
No, that's his name.
Oh.
That's the guy that was banned. His name was Blitzchung.
Sounds very appropriate.
They made really a half-assed, very tiptoe walk on eggshells apology, which a lot of people saw right through. But they did announce two pretty major things that has a lot of people forgetting that they did that. One of them being Overwatch 2. And it looks like Overwatch 2 is indeed coming to the Nintendo Switch, mm-hmm. which makes sense since they just dropped Overwatch 1 on Nintendo Switch. But yeah, it's confirmed for it, so that's good. A couple of new game modes. I mean, if you want to read up about that, just go to like either Nintendo Everything, Nintendo Life, you know, your IGNs, whatever. They all did a little write-up about it. The other one, of course, they announced Diablo 4, but they said that is not coming to the Nintendo Switch.
And also, for a long
time. Is upsetting.
As well.
Right.
So, I feel that was more to sort of assuage their own shortcomings of, one, Diablo Mobile, which, is that still coming out? Did they show any of that, BlizzCon? I did not watch
Diablo Immortal? I think they did.
Okay.
Good lord.
Catch any of that. And yeah, and also to sort of distract from the apology, as it were, and that whole controversy. But yeah, I love Diablo. I mean, I'm not a fan of some of the things I heard. It's always online only. There's no offline play in this game.
Yep.
It's a little bit strange to me. I don't know why they go that route. It's just bizarre. And that it's a long ways out. So again, I'm all about showing things and getting people excited about it, but if this is like a 3 or 4 year wait, if it's a go into like a mid next gen release, I don't know. I don't want
to
see it.
Maybe that's why it's not going to appear on Switch, because it's going to be Switch 2 by then.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah, maybe they know about the Switch Pro, but they can't say anything about it yet.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And finally, Andy, this is big news.
Huge news.
Yeah.
Bloodstained got a long overdue graphics and performance boost on the Switch. It is officially live. So all you Bloodstained Switch owners out there can play to a closer version of perfection. I watched the comparison video. It is actually a really big difference. The loading times are, I think, 75% less than what they were from the original release. The graphics were way polished up. And I think it is now in the best place it can be performance-wise. It just sucks that it came... Like, if they had delayed this any further... Which actually, that's a great question. Do you think it would have been worth it to delay this or release it in its kind of unpolished state?
I think if they came out and said, hey, the Switch version really isn't ready yet, but we're going to put out the unfinished version so you can play, you can have some progress, but we are working on some performance and, you know, whatever enhancements for Switch, you know, whatever it is. Like, if they came out and said it, maybe, and if they said it maybe a month before it came out so that people can switch their pre-orders if they want. The problem is it came out and everyone was surprised at how bud it was.
Right, and, you know, for us, when we love this game to death, we sung its praises, but it was hard to recommend for the Switch. It's a great game, but not on Nintendo's platform.
Right.
Which is a shame.
And I've heard this engine... Uh-huh. I forget what engine it is. It's one of the two. It's, I don't know if it's Unreal. I think it's Unreal is the one that's very difficult on the Switch, yeah. I believe. It was one of it was either Unreal or Epic, whatever.
Unity, you mean?
Unity, yes. Right. One of them is really hard to get to work flawlessly on Switch, so I don't know. And I know that this is the one that used it, but I don't know what engine they use. I'm not like... big into the whole engine talk and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, at least those who are on the fence now have a better reason to buy it for a Switch, and those who had purchased it, a little bit of a redemption for those purchases. And speaking of redemption, Steven.
Yes.
The hype zone is a bunch of question marks to you right now.
I know. I see that.
And you're like, what does Andy have planned for us today? Again, to go back to our theme of reversing shit on today's episode, I am going to flip-flop and reverse our hype zone and do a hype zone redemption.
Oh.
Some weeks back, we lambasted the shit out of Ring Fit Adventure.
We did. We did.
And it is actually pretty goddamn good.
I look forward to it.
Yes, you have to get it. I told you to get it. You should get it. It is.
Yes.
It's not complete ass. And I actually like it. And you know, maybe before PAX East next year, when both of us are all like swole as fuck and, you know, rocking our hard bodies on the conference floor.
Hell yeah.
It's all because of that Ring Fit Adventure, baby.
We're going to look like Chef Robert Irvine. That's my goal in life. I want to look like him.
Oh boy. Steven.
Jacked out of his mind.
Are you up to the Retro Game Club? How are you feeling today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Did you pick a game?
Oh, no.
That's why I'm asking if you're up to it.
Do you have something special? Because
no,
if not,
I
can definitely. All right, I'll find something. You talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to mute my microphone so that I can do the clickety clacks on the key.
This is going to be fun. So, Christoph, while he does his little research there, I'll give you the download on this Retro Game Club. So, we pick a game that's from the GameCube library all the way back to the NES. And he will give us 10 clues to guess this game. We have three guesses in total. If we can't get it in three guesses, we lose. We can ask a yes or no question, but When we do so, we will lose a guess. Now, we can discuss things openly amongst ourselves. We can ask clarification questions if need be. But that's the basic premise of this game. We try to stick to games that were only ever on Nintendo systems. But as you go towards the N64 and GameCube era, there's a lot of crossover between that and PlayStation as well. So, but the game has to be on a Nintendo system in some way.
Yes.
That's like the core point of this game.
Okay.
All right. So, Steven, was that enough time to let you find the game?
Yeah.
Hastily?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
This video game was released in 1993 by Activision.
Okay.
1993 by Activision, exclusively on a Nintendo platform.
Ooh. Okay, so 93 Activision. What were they big for in those days? I'm trying to think. Let's see. Oh, you know what? You did mention before. I'm taking a guess. Is it Alien vs. Predator?
Is that your final answer? Yes. You stupid bastard.
Is it?
It is.
I did it!
Well, that's still fun.
Give me those 100 points!
No, you only get 100 if you get it without a clue. You get
How
10
the
points.
Hell do you get a game without a clue?
I don't know, but it's possible. Well, now I want to do another one.
No, you can't. We'll do one for fun, but it goes to my
effect. Well, we want one.
Right.
All right, I'm going to mute my mic one more time.
So, Chris, let's talk more about Carrion while Steven does more bullshit legwork that we'll guess in 5 seconds. How did you get to work with Phobia Game Studio? How did you get to join the team? How long have you been there for?
Oh, that's a good question, I think. About four years and a couple of months. And it wasn't actually Phobia Game Studio back when I joined the team. We were part of Transhuman Design. Right. You may know the company from King Arthur's Gold, maybe, or Soldat. Some Polish indie games, but maybe you don't know them. They weren't released on anything Nintendo.
Did you also work on Butcher?
Yeah, so okay. That's when that's I joined game. The team. I joined as a level designer for Butcher, and yeah, eventually. After like the company had to scale down a lot, basically Michał Marcinkowski, the CEO of the company, had to go back to his indie roots as a sole developer. We as the Butcher team decided to basically form our own company. Well, at first Sebastian, who was also the lead behind Butcher. It was basically his game. He brought with him when he was hired by Transhuman Design. There were like a couple of months of him just working on some cool monster traversal mechanics and eating mechanics. And once the gifts gained some traction on Twitter, we figured out that we should make it a game, and he decided to bring back the Butcher team, and then we formed Phobia Game Studio.
Oh, that's nice. Like you had like a nice core team in mind and made a whole brand new team out of it. I gotta say, like, just to go back on, I can see why like the GIFs got so much attention, because the sprite work and the way the creature moves and slithers along the ceilings and the walls is one of the most beautiful things I've seen in the video game. Just and even and the sound effects that go hand in hand with the art design is just phenomenal.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I guess Sebastian will be stoked to hear that because he spent shitloads of time doing that. Although it helps that he's doing both all the programming and the art. So whenever something's hard to do, for example, art-wise, he can bullshit his way with some smart programming or, or the other way around with some nifty art, he can mask some bullshit programming. So, yeah. So that actually works for him really nicely.
So before we cut back to Steven, hopefully he's ready soon.
I am ready.
I do want to say one more thing about Christoph's role in the company. He was, and I quote, suckered into doing the social media for Phobia Game Studio. Did you lose a bet? Was it a coin toss? How did that go down? I'm just kind of curious. Was it draws?
Actually, it's kind of funny. Like our main, obviously we have our Discord server, but other than that, like our main platform is Twitter. It's actually Sebastian's personal Twitter, which has gained quite a following since he started posting those development GIFs. So he's still taking care of that. But our Facebook page, we both admined it, although I was the only one who cared to answer the questions every now and then. and eventually Sebastian went like, you know, I'm quitting Facebook, so yeah, you're the only admin now. Good luck. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah, so that was basically it. No bets, no coin tossing. It was it's just like, yeah, you take care of it.
That guy will do it. All right, that's fantastic. All right, Steve, what you got for us?
Are you two handsome boys ready?
Oh, we're
going to do this thing.
Yeah, we're so ready for this.
Yeah, do we answer without any hints? Yeah.
Do you want to make a guess before we go?
Okay, let me go.
If you want to, you can. You get 100 points.
Is it Eternal Darkness?
No, it is not. You lose. You're out. Okay, no. This video game was released in 1989, and it is a award-winning video game from 1989.
Ooh, so 89, that could be... That's NES. NES. Award-winning games. Very nebulous to me. What's an award back in those days?
Don't you be Googling.
Game of the year, game of the month, best platformer. I don't fucking know.
The award it won was best of show.
Oh, shit. Best of show. Okay. Now, clarification, did it go on to any other awards after the fact, or that was the high point for this game? It was all downhill from there.
I mean, it won a bunch of awards.
Okay. All right. All right. That's a good clue. I think we need some more. Don't you agree, Christoph?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Let's go to the next clue.
Okay. This game features heavily a monster. There is a monster prominently featured in this video game.
A monster. Okay. Part of me wants to say Rampage, because that's very on theme with what Carrion is. Is it Rampage?
Is that your using a guess on Rampage?
Yeah, why not?
It is not Rampage.
Okay. I mean, I got my 10 points. I'm fine. This is all just fluff at this point in the game.
This is fluff. You're right.
All right. Let's go to the next clue.
The next clue? I feel like almost every clue I want to say is going to give it away.
Like how it plays?
Like, real easy. This game is a puzzle platformer.
Puzzle platformer. See, the whole... It features a monster. Do you play as the monster? Can you clarify that? Or are you the monster in this game?
I am not clarifying that.
That's bullshit! Because all games feature monsters, if it's an enemy.
No, this is... prominently features it stars a monster.
Okay. Stars a monster. That means you're playing as the monster. I'm going to make that assumption.
Or the monster is chasing you.
Okay. Shit, what chase games are in those times?
You never know. You never know.
Okay. Puzzle platformer. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Okay. That sounds all fine and dandy. Let's go to the next clue.
This game did, in fact, have a sequel on the Game Boy, but it was considered a failure.
Okay, so it's an NES game. That much is clear. 89. What came out that year? It's a lot of shit that came out. Puzzle platformer. Sequel. Failure. I had a very limited Game Boy library growing up. This should have been your first game because I'm kind of stumped. Yeah, I'm drawing some blanks. Puzzle platformer.
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of drawing blanks here. What do you think, Christoph? Anything you can possibly think this could be? That's
not really.
Not Eternal Darkness.
Yeah, fuck, no.
Are you ready for your next clue?
Sure.
The monster is very hungry, and you need to feed it to solve puzzles.
Feeding a monster to solve puzzles. Oh my god, what is this? Yeah, I really don't know what this is. Feeding a monster to...
I think you do know what this is.
Right, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm just not thinking is what's happening. The stakes aren't really high for me right now. That's what Leo's what's going on in my head, really. Feeding a monster... this is a crazy guess. I'm not sure you even got a sequel on the Game Boy, but whatever. Is it A Boy and His Blob?
It is, in fact, A Boy and His Blob.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. I went with the blob theme this time.
Oh, look at you. Clever boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, your next clue was going to be you whistle to reset. And then the other one was going to be Frasier. No, that would have been too obvious.
Okay.
Frasier and Niles. What do they have in common?
That they're brothers?
Well, it's their last name. Crane.
Oh, Crane.
David Crane.
Oh. Was that the boy main boy's name?
No, that was the creator of the game.
I don't know.
Who was the head... You don't know David Crane?
What else did he do besides A Boy and His Blob?
Really? Atari.
Okay.
All of Atari. All of Atari.
I don't know Mr. Crane's. The only Cranes I care about are Marty, Frasier, and Niles. And Eddie.
Yeah, he...
Eddie by proxy.
Yeah. He was like one of the founders of... He was like one of the original creators of games for the Atari 2600.
Oh. Congrats, David. You made it. You made it.
All right.
That'll do it.
So I don't die. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yes, you did a good job. You survived.
I muted a lot.
Yes.
I was very muted most of this show.
Also, listeners, how hot does Steven sound right now?
Do I? Ooh, how you doing, ladies and gentlemen? All right, folks. That is it. I don't know what podcast network we're on, so I'm not plugging that yet because I have no idea what's going on.
Just plug ourselves. But, plug Carrion.
Yeah. We didn't plug Melted Pins, so I'm going to do that real quick.
Yep.
Melted Pins is our sponsor. Fantastic website. They sell unique and original tattoo art-inspired pins, buttons, canvas bags, and all sorts of stuff like tank tops, sweaters, and all that fun stuff. Artist Kelsey Lynn has done art for many podcasts and websites all over the place, including ours. If you, well, I don't have my video on, but if you do, on my mic stand, I do have one of Kelsey's pins, which I really enjoy. If you go to meltedpins.com and you use the checkout code NDSMelted, you will get 10% off of your purchase. That's meltedpins, promo code or checkout code NDSMelted, and you get 10% off your purchase. You can follow Melted Pins on social media at meltedpins. All right. If you want to follow us, you could do so on social media. We are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And Christoph, where could everybody find you and everything about Carrion?
I guess on... Oh, join our Discord, Phobia Game Studio. This is the best place for all the hot Carrion news and bullshit. So, yeah, join our Discord server, definitely.
It's a great pitch. All right. All the hot news and bullshit. Join our Discord.
Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/NDS podcast. Follow our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. And thank you very much to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sourdough Productions, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for all of he's actually been working on a bunch of different promotional art, I guess you could say. We appreciate that, Matt. Thank you, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast and Hit Buttons Gaming, and of course, twitch.tv/DanOMac for the very first piece of art we've ever used on this show, our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. Thank you so much. And Andrew Douglas for all of our podcast art. And you can follow Andrew at Angimoto, AngiMoto. All right, Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
No, that's it. We have some fun guests lined up for the rest of November. I'm thinking between the three of us and our listeners, all this Overwatch news, sequel coming to Switch, game out now for Switch.
Yep.
Let's try and get some Overwatch voice talent on the show.
That'd be nice.
A lot of them live in New York.
That'd be real nice.
Gone to some of their shows, because some do stand-up and like one win show kind of things. So I'd love to get some folks from that team on the show. So
awesome.
Keep your eyes and your ears peeled for...
Keep them open.
Keep them open and peeled for news. News and bullshit. Coming soon.
Hey, other thing, if you want to buy some shit, go to our Teespring. Teespring.com/NDS podcast. Yeah, Teespring.com/NDS podcast. Not a lot is up there right now. We're going to have more designs very soon. But if you want to rock a NDS podcast t-shirt or something, or a hoodie, or a mug, go to Teespring.com/NDS podcast. All right, that is it, folks. That's going to do it for Nintendo Dual Screens episode 125 for the week of November 4th, 2019. If you want to listen to this episode's pre- and post-show shenanigans, possibly, maybe, I don't know, head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast, where you get an extra hour of content each and every week for just one, well, each and every month for just $1. Thank you, Christoph. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Maybe when you have more to speak about, if and when this thing's coming to Switch, we can have you back on. What do you think?
Yeah, if it ever comes to Switch, or if we ever can confirm that it comes to Switch, then yeah.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
We can do another one. Yeah. Cool. Get some more games. And
excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. And please take care. And as always, please be excellent to each other.